Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's 10 minutes after 12 on a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, and I'm glad you are. John Najarian is as well. You can follow John on Twitter at John Najarian. See him on CNBC as well, and he joins us on a phone line. John, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
I don't know where to start with you, John Najarian, because...
I love that.
Well, maybe the story I'm most fascinated by, and Dave Enick just did it in sports again, is Twitter signing this deal with the NFL where they're going to carry most of the Thursday night games coming up this season, probably a wave of the future. Now, Twitter's an outlet that's had some ups and downs, some trouble lately, and I just wondered, did that announcement show up on Wall Street today? What's been the impact on their stock price?
It more or less showed up yesterday.
Okay.
There was certainly a lot of speculation. We knew the likely bidders, even though they didn't just come out and say it, were Yahoo, Verizon, Twitter, Amazon, the likes of the big, more or less, online media companies for that streaming of the Thursday night game. I don't know what the final tally was as far as how much it will cost them. Twitter hasn't had a problem with streaming things in the past because they haven't done it.
Right.
So this is really, I think, breaking new ground for them. If it works, if they're able to attract enough people to watch on Twitter, and of course many of us would say if you're not on a Wi-Fi connection, you're certainly not going to be watching, but that would be the same for Amazon, Netflix, anybody. If you're not on a Wi-Fi connection, you're going to burn a ton of data. So this would be the Verizon's best friend, or AT&T, or T-Mobile, or whomever.
Or maybe it'd be okay if you're a Bears fan, because you'd never watch more than a quarter anyway.
There you go. But the thing I was most taken by was that this is a step for them to get into an area they've never been. So that's positive in my mind. But they need to be able to monetize these things. I don't know if it'll attract more people to become Twitter users just to get the experience of streaming that Thursday night game. Quite frankly, Thursday night games, one of the reasons the NFL picked it is these aren't highly sought-after products, really. In fact, many of the games were snoozers after that first quarter that you mentioned the Bears fans usually tune out by. But nonetheless, that is an interesting story, and Twitter was reacting to that, the rumors of this yesterday. It was up 10% yesterday, and Twitter was initially making a very nice move to the upside today as well.
Another story that broke within the past hour or so, well, it didn't really break, but President Obama spoke from the White House in support of the Treasury Department rules that were announced yesterday to try to do what they can to limit inversions. And I know, I think Al Ergin suffered a little bit from that yesterday. He again is calling on Congress to codify that so that the inversions can't be done. But is this, do you see other companies being hurt by the president today?
Well, a number of other stocks that had that kind of exposure, even ones that did not avail themselves of that particular inversion status, like Walgreens Boots Alliance. As you probably recall, Stephen, they considered it, but then shied away from it. As a couple of the Illinois senators reached out to him and told him what a bad idea they thought.
They shied away from it, or they were bullied out of it, maybe.
Exactly. I think you're putting it better than I did. But Walgreens, nonetheless, was down about 2.5 times what the market was down today. And much of that, it's not an earnings question or anything else. It was perhaps some of the opportunities going forward to them have now been closed.
Oh, interesting.
Because this is for any inversion that's done from this day forward, according to what the president and the Treasury have said.
So Walgreens' earnings announced were okay today, but their expectations, they didn't raise their expectations, right? And that was some problems for them.
Right, exactly. Guidance can be a problem for any firm. They beat by about 4 cents, so that's why I said it was not really their earnings themselves. But they were a little light on revenue. Exactly why that was, don't know. Could it have been that during that first quarter when the weather wasn't so good, people didn't come in as often to Walgreens, where they rely on a lot of those purchases, those point-of-sale purchases, that extra candy bar or whatever that causes, you know, that extra tick on the register. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was it, but the guidance was also a little soft, but it was still wrapped around what the estimates on the street were. So I think this is more a door closing on the potential that they could avail themselves of those tax-deferred or tax-free status.
One other company that people are talking about today is Disney, the chief operating officer, Thomas Staggs, announcing that he is going to leave next month, about a month from now, and that sort of throws their succession out of whack, right? I mean, they'd had a plan, and obviously something has come up to change all of that.
Right, and I was breaking down the board because apparently this is Bob Iger's personal choice, Mr. Staggs, is to be the next CEO, the heir apparent, and now, of course, no longer. And apparently he wasn't able to woo the board over. And I look at the board, Stephen, and as you know, I try to be a little bit of a forensic guy anyway.
Sure.
I see one person on that board that could potentially be the person that wants that job, and that would be Sheryl Sandberg, the chief operating officer over at Facebook.
Interesting.
She's 46 years old. She's in a media space already. She's the only one of all the people that is on that board. They've got the likes of Nike and Starbucks and Estee Lauder. People from all different backgrounds are on the board. She's the only one that strikes me as saying she might want that job, and maybe that's why the board didn't have support for Mr. Iger's choice. That guy's going to land on his feet.
Yeah. Well,
Staggs is somebody everybody wants, and I'll be shocked if he's not with Viacom within a couple weeks.
We'll watch for that. All right, real quick, do you have a stock tip for us today?
We were buying a lot of Transocean. This is even though the energy prices have eased again after that big run-up off of about $26 per barrel. Transocean is RIG, R-I-G. That's the symbol. They're offshore drilling, and the stock is just off the 52-week low. And that's one of the reasons I think maybe people are scrambling in here to buy it. It was $22 last year at this time. Now it's $8. So I think people are taking a shot that if energy does gather itself here, this stock could be moving significantly higher.
Excellent. John Najarian, great to talk to you again this week.
Thank you, Stephen. Have a great day.
You bet. You too. You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Well, 22 on the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Andrew Herman is here. He comes by most Tuesdays from DNA Info to talk about openings and closings, sort of an eye on the neighborhood, what businesses are looking for your business and which businesses are sorry that they didn't get your business. And, I'm just crushed because I'm a big collector of U.S. curling Olympic memorabilia.
Are you?
Yeah, and
oh.
I thought I had an opportunity to sort of add to my collection. Turns out I missed out.
That's a pretty small field, though, right? There's only a few of you out there.
I usually win on the auctions, on the online auctions, yeah.
Well, so there's an empty store space at 3715 North Southport, and it's been empty for a little bit. For a while, and all of a sudden some signs started popping up in there about businesses that were coming to this spot, and as you point out, the Olympic curling memorabilia shop was coming, and they were going to show you ice from the 1924 Winter Olympics.
Water, actually, that was used in the ice.
That's right.
Very nice.
That's right. And then, for some reason, then it changed, and now all of a sudden it becomes the Apollo Moon Real Estate Office, and they have land on the moon that they're selling, and they say, you know, it's the perfect winter getaway. It's only 238,000 miles away, and people are wondering, you know, what's going on here. And then finally, it's revealed that the real business coming is 5411 Empanadas, which is kind of a restaurant that serves kind of ethnic food.
There are a few of those around, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're like an Argentinian thing. They're like a sort of like a pasta pocket with the sausage and
meat. So I like the idea, though, of the way to get a little buzz in the neighborhood.
Right. So you're a small businessman, and you're trying to figure out out a way to get on people's radar and create some buzz before you open. And as you point out, empanadas, you know, they're not real common, but they're not uncommon
right.
anymore. It's kind of a hot thing. And so you kind of get the neighbor to start talking about this spot before you even open. So it's kind of brilliant.
Let's run up to Rogers Park while we have time here.
Yeah.
The main stage has been a venue for a club acts, right? Kind of concert venue for a few years.
Yeah.
Jennifer Pritzker is a remarkable story, is the woman behind that, and they're closing down.
Well, so the main stage, it's in, as you say, Rogers Park, 1330 West Morse. It's right near Loyola there, and it was the Morse Theater. It was one of these vaudeville places
mm-hmm.
built in 1912. Kind of smaller than typical, 300 seats, and they have been presenting comedy acts and music since about 2010 when the building was bought and rehabbed by Colonel Jennifer Pritzker, who's a well-known developer in the city here. And so evidently they're not getting enough traction, so they're turning the whole thing over to private events so that you'll be able to rent it for like functional places, restoring the grandeur. And she's just one of, I think, Chicago's most interesting characters.
Well, and successful. I mean, obviously,
yes.
You know, she started with some big cash, but she's doing interesting sort of innovative things around the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, if you were a billionaire, it'd be a fun way to spend your money.
Right.
She's got a great project in Lincoln Park that's going up. She rehabbed a bunch of 19th century townhouses, and she liked them so much she's building brand new ones that look just like the 19th century ones.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, obviously it's Lincoln Park, they're going to be very expensive, but she does these sort of interesting, I think, thoughtful developments around Chicago and in the near north suburbs.
Now, main stage, she also was building, in fact I remember there was kind of maybe I talked about it with you, with a ribbon cutting for a big condo building was going to be across the street from there.
Yeah, it's right across the street. And like I say, it there's a certain, I don't know, look to these buildings that makes it seem like, this building must be at least 100 years old. So it's a great, you know, she does a lot of great work.
And what I guess I asked, because part of this development are going to be three floors of parking.
Right.
Which you think would have worked nice for a concert venue, but maybe not so nice for a bar mitzvah venue. Maybe it will. I don't know.
Well, parking is at a premium in Chicago, so maybe people will appreciate it. I know there was some pushback by the neighbors who didn't like it, but by and large, her work is pretty top-notch.
All right. Well, I want to have Jennifer Pritzker in on the show, so can you?
You should. She'd be great.
Can you make that happen?
I'll get right on it,
next
Steve.
Week, if not next week, the week
I'm
going
to go to lunch first, and then I'll get on it. Is that okay?
Yeah, have some empanadas. Andrew Herman, good to see you again.
All right.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Actually, that wasn't even Orion. That was just me doing my imitation of the late Senator Paul Simon, who sounded a lot like Orion.
Oh, you're pretty good.
Yeah, it worked out for all of us. So, O's back. We've been having some computer glitches all over the place today. So, can we still blame sunspots? I'm not sure that's possible. Greg McBride is with Bankrate.com. In fact, he's the chief financial analyst, and he joins us on a phone line now. Greg, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Good afternoon, Steve. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, before the news started, I teased it. I said, all right, who saves more money, you, your parents, grandparents, or your kids? With the idea that, I suppose I'm thinking people who are maybe 40 to 50 are in a position where they're saving the most. I was shocked to read that it's actually millennials who are saving at the highest rate right now.
As a percentage of income, yes, that's correct. Now, some of that's going to be because their incomes are smaller. But, you know, not to take the bloom off the rose, millennials, we've seen very consistently that they have a greater inclination towards savings. They've started to save for retirement earlier than preceding generations. They've also done a better job of saving for emergencies. And I think that the savings rate as a percentage of income and the amount of millennials that are doing so, I think is testament to that.
Well, why do you think it is that they've got it in their brain to save?
I think so much of this really traces back to the financial crisis. And, the fact that came during their financially formative years really had an impact. And they, even if they weren't directly affected by it, they had a front row seat. They saw what it did to their parents or their older siblings or, you know, other family members and friends. And so, you know, it's really been ingrained in them, this inclination, not just for greater savings, but, you know, a hesitancy towards debt. There's less of a consumer focus. They're not as concerned consumption-oriented as their predecessors were. So, you know, a lot of that, I think, you know, really kind of traces back to the, you know, what we saw during the financial crisis and all of the economic uncertainty that came out as a result of that.
That's a good thing. There's probably an unlikely benefit, too, because it seems to me like this is the generation, maybe the first generation to come of working age where the idea of a pension wasn't sort of de facto, right? I mean, I'm 53, so when I started working, people put in their time and they got pensions. Someone who's 23, 25, who's going into work now, you know, there's not going to be any such thing as a pension. They're going to have to save more to retire. They're going to have to do that on their own.
You're right. I mean, the burden for retirement savings, and this goes for all of us, but the burden for retirement savings is increasingly upon our shoulders as individuals each and every day. And that's, you know, more true for the millennials than anybody else. You know, not only are they going to have fewer pensions, as you noted, but they've got longer lifespans. Their health care costs are going to be higher. You know, there's the future of Social Security is more uncertain for them than it is for anybody else. So this is a generation that has the biggest retirement savings burden in history. The good news is they're getting a bit of a jump start on it. The bad news is they're not saving aggressively enough. They do have an aversion to the stock market, and they tend to favor very conservative investments, which is great for your emergency savings account, but it's not for your retirement savings.
Interesting. Tell me about that. So they might be saving at a higher rate than people older than them, but they're not investing them in things like Wall Street.
Exactly, and we found in previous surveys that the millennials actually have the highest aversion to the stock market of any age group, and yet they're the age group that, as I said, has the biggest retirement savings burden in history. They are the age group that has the longest time horizon until retirement and should, you know, embracing the volatility in the markets and you know, in the effort of, you know, compounding higher rates of return over many decades. But we're not seeing that quite yet, and I think, again, that's just another vestige of the financial crisis and, you know, the sharp drop in the market, which, you know, it came on the heels of the dot-com bust. So you saw two very sharp drops in the market within a 7 or 8 year period.
So I like that. Good and bad from the stock market crash on this generation. So they're saving more, but they're afraid to put the money where it might help them the most long term. If they're saving at their rate, how are the rest of us doing?
We actually saw some improvement. We saw the percentage of Americans that are saving more than 10% of their incomes increased from a year ago. The percentage of Americans saving more than 15% of their incomes increased from a year ago. So, you know, a real testament to the fact that people that are disciplined about their saving and have a program in place, they're not only keeping with it, but they're doing what they can to move the needle and increase that. Unfortunately, the percentage of Americans that weren't saving anything increased. That's now 21%. And even the percentage of Americans that were only saving a little bit, you know, we saw some of them drop off in that, you know, fewer Americans are even saving a little bit. More of them are now not saving at all.
So the lower income groups seem to be saving at a higher rate, which is good, but the fact is they're making less money, so they're saving fewer dollars.
Well, I think one good note here is that for Americans that were making between $30,000 and $50,000 a year, 27% of them were saving more than 10% of their incomes, and that was more than people that had higher incomes and were in an upper middle income bracket. So, you know, I think that's a very positive indicator, a recognition that, you know, you've got to save, you've got to do this dirty work yourself. But at the same token, you know, as people progress through their careers and their earnings increase, if you've got that habit of saving in place, it goes with you. This idea that, you know, well, you'll just wait until you make a lot of money and then start saving is hogwash. People, you know, A, they either don't get to the point where they make a lot of money, or when they do, they're so focused on spending, they haven't established the habit of saving.
Talking to Greg McBride from Bankrate.com, he's the chief financial analyst. I know that you guys have a financial security index, and the February number was a touch lower than the number before, but it's still been fairly high in recent months, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually the third best reading. March was the third best reading we'd seen in the last 9 months. So still a lot of positives. People feeling very secure in their jobs. We see that continuing to increase each and every month. Comfort level with debt. People have really gotten their arms around their debt. They've paid it down. They've refinanced. They feel good there. And we saw that rising net worth, actually a big contributor this month. 27% of Americans say their net worth is higher than it was a year ago, and compared to only 7%. 17% that now say it's now lower.
Greg, thanks very much for joining us today. I'm sorry you're not in the studio, because after a break we're going to talk to Michael Lapidus, who is the owner of QBBQ. We might have some food in here.
Oh, I wish I could join you for that.
Another reason to visit Chicago next time. Greg McBride, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. You know, our chairs here in the studio have been upgraded. They've been upgraded big time. We partnered with Office Designs in Northbrook. You should, too. It's never been easier or more affordable with Office Designs. They're Chicagoland's premier destination for office furniture and design services for small and medium-sized businesses. With over 21 years of expertise, Office Designs has partnered with hundreds of local businesses to outfit their workplaces for success. So take the stress out of updating your office space while saving thousands with Office Designs' complimentary personalized design consultation, space planning and layout, project management, and delivery and installation services. Their experts will help you mix and match any product from their huge range of popular brands like Herman Miller, Steelcase, and Hayward. You can achieve the office that fits your bottom line. Best of all, for a limited time, mention WGN and also receive special discount pricing. Start optimizing your workplace for success. To learn more or to get your free in-person consultation, call 888-432-1980. That's 888-432-1980 or visit officedesigns.com/WGN. Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and I've already got barbecue sauce on the board. That's a bad thing. Mike Lapidus is in the studio, the CEO of QBBQ. Welcome to the Business Lunch.
How are you? I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here, too. Everything smells just very nice.
I bring good things where I go.
All right, let's talk about the business, because you just announced that you're going to go public.
You heard it here.
But things are going well, and they're going pretty fast, aren't they?
They are. I mean, we're really lucky. We're opening our fifth restaurant in a week in Oak Park, and we've had just great success in the Chicagoland area and Northwest Indiana.
How do you know when to open another restaurant?
My gut tells me, and when there's enough money in the bank.
Right. So when that happens, so you're like, okay, we're going to expand. Because I think I read on your website you've got regional aspirations.
We do. And then after regions, national aspirations. I think a couple things is we started in LaGrange, and it was just such a big hit. Mm-hmm. And people from LaGrange were saying, you need to open more. And so a lot of people from Naperville were coming. And so that's where we opened our next spot. And then, it happened into the city with Lakeview, and then Northwest Indiana hit. And people just really wanted us there. So we're taking the cue of our raving fans as well.
So there's no big market research? It really is gut?
There is market research with that, too. I mean, obviously, I'm a businessman as well as a trained eater.
I wouldn't mind one opening next door here. Yeah. If you want to go for that.
I can't afford $200 a square foot.
Are you a businessman or a cook?
I'm a trained eater.
Yeah. Well, we're all trained eaters.
I'm a lover of food. I'm not a trained chef, but I've been in the business for 12 years, so I understand how restaurants operate. And what's really unique about Q Barbecue is we have authentic and great and legendary food, but we're serving it with that legendary service, and I understand that aspect of it.
Of people want to come in and eat nice food, but they want to be treated well as well.
They want to be treated well, and they want they want the people that are serving them knowledgeable on the food and excited.
I mean, you're riding this nice wave, and we're in this era of the fast casual, right?
I like to call us fine casual, and I do that on purpose for the reason is, we have that, fine service mentality, but we are serving it in a quick, casual environment. And, that shows by our, we won two Bib Gourmands, Michelin-rated, awards.
What do you do best? What's the best thing on the menu for you?
It changes a lot, but right now I think we are doing our burnt ends the best.
Yeah.
And I brought you some to taste. It is, the piece of meat that the chefs always kept for themselves, and we smoke it for almost 24 hours, and it just melts in your mouth.
And then, well, I see Cheez-Its on the macaroni and cheese.
You do.
What's that about?
Well, you know, a lot of places are just putting breadcrumbs on cheese on mac and cheese. And some people in the early 90s started putting pan cow crumbs on there, and it was the biggest deal in the world. Q Barbecue's putting Cheez-Its on there.
When you're developing new recipe, are you developing new recipes or are you redeveloping old recipes?
A little bit of both. Yeah. I think with our sides, we're taking those, you know, great American staples like the mac and cheese, but we're putting four cheeses in there and mac and, you know, crumbles on top.
Right. And so the idea of barbecue now as fast casual or fine casual is growing in and of itself, mm-hmm. right? Who do you compete with? Do you compete with other barbecue joints, or do you compete with other restaurants in the neighborhood?
I think we are competing with other restaurants in the neighborhood, but what's really cool about the Chicagoland barbecue community is we all cheer on each other, and we're all each other's biggest fans because we're all doing some different stuff, mm-hmm. and it's unique. And barbecue is so subjective to the person. And, you know, everyone has their favorite recipe and does their favorite thing on the backyard and has their favorite restaurant, and we just want to be that niche for millions of people as well.
We're talking to Michael Lapides, the owner of QBBQ. How long have you been at this? Not very long.
Our LaGrange, we're going into our seventh year.
Yeah, I mean, so that's pretty fast. Yeah. And you plan to move fast, too. I can tell that you do.
Yeah, we do. And we want to get our systems and our culture and all of that down pat and then grow smart.
Was that always the plan, even with number one? With number one, were you thinking of number six and seven and eight?
I think yes, I was, but I didn't think it was going to come up so quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a testament to our great service and our Raven fans.
What has been your biggest surprise?
How long it takes to open up another restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's...
Even though you've been through it a few times now.
Yeah.
And what is it, finding the spot? Is it the equipment?
It's from finding the spot to making sure you negotiate the right deal to, you know, then doing the construction and moving on there.
Q Barbecue, and you want to find the right spot and enjoy it and some fine casual dining. Mike Lapides, it was great to talk to you.
Great talking to you.
Q Barbecue. I see some sauce as well, so it's not everything just eaten in.
No, yeah, we make our sauces, and we're selling them in a couple grocery stores in Chicagoland as well.
Thanks for coming in today. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN.